There, Isaiah chapter 5, you turn there. This has been on my mind all week, and I've just been praying for some people. And let me tell this to everybody. There's some people in your church that's really struggling. Okay? They're really struggling. And it may be you, and I don't know about it, but I know some people that are just, they're fighting battles. And it seems like, and in fact, I had one testimony given to me this week. He said, you know, you preached that message about don't sell your vineyard. And he said, the devil has been trying to tear my house up all week long. And he said, I appreciate you preaching it. He said, but it's coming real. He said, I've got to not sell my vineyard. And it's just, that's been on my mind all week. And it's, I just had kind of this theme. I was just praying about it and was asking the Lord what to preach today. And this is kind of what He brought to me. And I have, here again, I've preached this before. But this is a lot of you are new here, and this is a new crowd, and there may be some people watching online that's not heard us before. And I think it every now and then we just go back and cover some things that we have learned, maybe we forgot. And I promise you, I need them just like everybody else does. Okay? I need them just like, so we're gonna take that vineyard now. We're gonna go through the scriptures again and look at some, how to protect, if that vineyard is yours, how to protect it. All right? How to protect it. The devil does not want you protecting your vineyard. You are standing in the way of what he wants to do in it, and that's what Isaiah 5 will teach us. We're going to read it here in a little bit, all right? There are people, believe it or not, there are people in our government who do not want the Constitution anymore. They don't want it. Scalia's death is awfully convenient. Okay? That's all I know. That's all I know, is that it came for some people at a good time. And so our country needs prayer. But if you value the freedoms and the rights that we have in this country, those freedoms need to be protected right now. And I'm talking about freedom to preach the gospel. Freedom to send somebody some scripture on Facebook without having the government coming here and deleting your account or worse. You say, well, I don't think that'll happen. It's happening all over the world. There are pastors in Canada, Great Britain, that have been imprisoned and had trials on them for preaching against sodomy. Okay? Don't think it'll happen. Don't think it won't happen here someday. All right? So just kind of think about that. But think about your vineyard. And let's get into the Word of God this morning. You bear with me this morning. I'm going to try to cover this. And I'm going to try to move right through it, but let's give attention to the Word of God. You've been waiting on this all week. Amen. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. He said, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. Okay? It's good land. It's what he's saying. It's good land. It's good growing land. Everybody else's vineyard's doing well. Everybody's crops are doing well. So there's really no reason why his vineyard should fail. No really good reason why his vineyard should fail. So I want you to look at it in verse 2. He fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and brought forth wild grapes. Now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Now, I'm going to just kind of throw just this one little theme at you, and then we're going to move on. Okay? I know sometimes we beat ourselves up over maybe mistakes that we think we made with our children. Maybe your children are serving the Lord, maybe they're not. And sometimes that gets to us is why they're not. We want to blame ourselves. We want to look back on our mistakes, want to look back on things we did even before our children came along. God planted a vineyard in Israel. And if you look there, he said he planted it in a very fruitful hill. He fenced it. Now I want you to look at that fence. It said he gathered out the stones thereof. He cleared the ground. But he made a fence around it so that nothing could get in. All right? And that's very important. That's what we're going to talk about today. Planted it with the choicest vine. He's talking about his word. But they still turned out bad. And let me just tell you, sometimes kids just make up their own minds that they're going to go a different direction. Okay? It happens. It happens in good families. It happens with families that have tried to raise their children right. It happens that way. If God could not keep Israel from turning bad, okay, don't blame yourself over your kids not serving the Lord sometimes. Okay? You just kind of keep that in mind and you just pray about that and see if that applies to you. All right? So now I want you to... Where's my little deal at? Here it is here. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to read this and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Remember that when God planted that vineyard, he put a fence around it. Why is that necessary? Proverbs chapter 24 is going to give us some wisdom. All right? If you ever need wisdom in your life, read Proverbs. It's right after Psalms. Once you get the healing in Psalms, then go to Proverbs and get the wisdom out of it. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. Let's listen to the word of God. Went by the field of the slothful. What does slothful mean? Lazy. Don't want to get up. Don't want to do anything. Don't want to move. All right? We are raising slothful children in this generation. Okay? They don't want to do anything. They don't want to get up. They want everything given to them, handed to them. They don't want to do anything for it. Okay? He said, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard. Here it is right here. Of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. The stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want, in other words, you don't have it, as an armed man. But I want you to focus now on that part there. The stone wall thereof was broken down. We're going to look at that theme in the scriptures here in just a few minutes. You pray for the message. You pray for me this morning that I can have clarity of thought and I can preach this, that the power of God would come down, give you some wisdom in your life. Those of you watching online, there's some issues going on in your life or maybe in your home or your family or maybe in your marriage. I want you to take this and apply that to that. I want you to think about your country and what's going on in our nation. Okay? I'm telling you, the stone wall of our country has been broken down. Internally. Okay? It's been broken down. So I want you to think about that and then think about your personal life and how you're going to survive remaining a Christian. How it's going to work. Okay, so you pray about that and you pray for me this morning and pray that God will open up our eyes. Heavenly Father, I need you every hour. It's like we sang, Lord, I can't do anything without you. Lord, in my weakness, and there are many of them, God, I struggle, I try, you always prevail. And I thank you so much for that. God, without you, truly, we are nothing. And Father, Lord, I cannot preach this message. I cannot, Lord, give these people the wisdom and the help, Lord, that they need in their lives. I cannot impart that to them. Only you and your Holy Spirit and your Word can impart that into their lives and make a lasting change in their lives, in their homes, Lord, in our communities, in our nation. Lord, only you can do that. And Lord, this message applies to us in America. It fits people in Canada, Australia, Great Britain, Ireland, Scotland, Kenya, any place, Lord, where this message is preached. Father, it applies to them. I pray, God, that you would help pastors, give them understanding, give them wisdom, Lord, about their flock. Help them, Lord, as you helped me years ago, Lord, when you spoke the word to me and showed me my responsibility. It is my responsibility as a shepherd to look after the state of my flock, to know, Lord, what's going on, to understand what needs they have. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just give me wisdom enough through your word to preach the things, God, that they need. Lord, bless this word. Bless us here today. We love you and we thank you for all things that you've given to us. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, help us, dear God, to stand in the evil day. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. So that place up there on the scriptures, the stone wall thereof was broken down. Let me just kind of go around the room. If you've got any input on this, what is the purpose? When God planted that vineyard in Isaiah chapter 5, he put a fence around it. Here, there is a stone wall around a vineyard. What is the purpose of that wall? Betty? Keep the bad things out and keep the good things in. Amen? Why do the sheep need a sheepfold? Why do the sheep need gates and fences? Because we're the sheep. We're so stupid, we'd wander everywhere. Amen. Okay? And once a sheep gets out on its own, the wolves will have it. Now I'm telling you, they're ravening wolves everywhere, looking for lost sheep. I promise you. While the shepherd is standing nearby, those wolves will not come. You ponder that. Alicia, you had something? Say the same thing. It's to keep the bad things out, keep the good things in. So I want you to take this now. This is your life in Christ. You know better than anybody what the bad things are, who the bad people are, who the bad influences are, what the issues of your life are that could destroy this vineyard that you have. Then we apply it to your home, your marriage, your family. Even if you are raising a family as a single parent, this can apply to you because you are now in a position, if you have children under you, you are now in a position, even if you're doing it alone, male or female, you're in a position where those children need to be guarded, they need to be protected, there needs to be a wall around that household. You believe that? If we don't believe that, then why do we put walls in our houses? And locks on the doors. Keep the bad things out, keep the good things in. All right? Who remembers a day growing up as a child where you could run all over the neighborhood, ride your bike everywhere, go around the world? Do we let our children do that anymore? Too many wolves. Too many wolves. They need protection. They need walls built around them. So here's what the Bible says about walls. And this, I saw this one day and it blessed my heart. Isaiah 26. And that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. A bulwark is like a tower or a place on the wall where there is armament. You're going to have to keep the enemy. I just had my mind zombies. I don't know why. But everything in this world now is about zombies. So I'll just say keep the zombies out. And by the way, that's kind of true if you think about it. Lost people are reckoned as dead already in the Bible. You're dead in trespasses. And here we have the walking dead coming after us all the time trying to eat our head off. Amen? Okay? So watch this. The zombies are on the outside. And to keep them out, we have to have a wall. But sometimes to keep them from breaching that wall, we have to have a bulwark there. We have to have a place where there's armament there to shoot them as they draw near. Does this make sense? Do you think we need more bulwarks around America? First of all, we need a wall. We need a wall around this nation. Either a real wall or a wall of men who will stand and guard and protect what is precious to us. I don't know about you. I like living in Missouri. I like living in Jefferson County. I like where there's a little difference all over the place. You can go to Jefferson County and find some farmland. You can find some good cities. You can find hills. You can find caves. You can find all kinds of stuff, and it'll snow one day and be 80 degrees the next. Amen. And here it comes again. Got more snow, maybe Thursday coming. Amen. Bring it on, okay? But I like this, and I don't want to... This land is precious to me. This area is precious. This is my home. This church is precious to me. It is my home. I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to... I've had offers to go to other places. I don't want them. I want to be right here, and I would like for God to preserve a church for us to come in, have a good time in the Lord, pray for one another, love one another, feel confident that God's going to meet our needs in this place. Somebody say amen. These are the things. I'm going to get to that precious part here in a minute. We will only seek to protect what is precious to us. You think about that. But salvation, walls equal salvation in the Bible. God, Christ is the shepherd, and He will call you into the sheepfold. The sheepfold is the corral where He's going to bring the sheep in after they've grazed and He's fed them and He's watered them a while. Then He's going to bring them back into the corral, back into the fold, so that they cannot be lost and the wolves will stay out. Jesus Himself taught us about this. We're living in a time right now where the mantra in churches is, let's break down the walls that separate us. Phooey on that. But you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to tear down what salvation is. God will protect a church that will honor God and keep His word, and He'll build a wall around them that the enemies cannot get into. Okay? Isaiah chapter 60, verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in the land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. There's two witnesses right there, both in the book of Isaiah, that tell you that walls represent salvation. You want God to save you? Stay inside the wall. Who knows? Who in here knows, is going to be honest, knows about venturing outside the wall a little bit? We think that's where we want to go. We think the grass is greener on the other side. We think it's better somewhere else. When we were growing up and we were in those teenage years, we were busting to get out from the walls. Because we were climbing the walls, we were making our parents climb the walls. And we wanted out. And the smart ones got out there and realized, I had it good when I was back at home. I had it good when I was under mama's protection. James Dobson told this years and years ago, I'll never forget it. There was a school district, I think in New York City, down Brooklyn, Harlem, somewhere around in there. But these do-good liberals, they're always wanting to change everything. They noticed on the playground all the children were pushed up against, they had this chain link fence around the playground. And all the children were pushed up against the fence and they were going, oh, we're harming them. We need to let them be free and feel free, not like they're confined. And so they took the chain link fence down. Stupid! You know what they noticed? All the kids huddled toward the middle of the playground. Like sheep. They put the fence back up. Our desire is to want to be protected. You go to bed at night knowing that there's something watching over you that's going to protect you. God is doing that. And that He's built a wall of salvation around you, and He's not going to let the booger men come in and get you. Amen. Amen. By the way, and I like this, and I'm going to show it to you. The word walls in the Bible, you look this up in the King James Bible, 66 times in your Bible. Amen. You know how many books there are in the Bible? 66. Amen. God, listen, here's the wall. Amen. Walls are not just to keep things out. It's to keep us in. Here are the boundaries of what we can and cannot do in our life living for Jesus Christ. Okay? And if you go outside of that, you are unprotected. You have escaped God's boundaries and you are in danger. I've been there. You've been there. Some of you have yet to go there, but I promise you it will be very alluring to you and you will want to get outside of those walls. All right? So I'm just kind of setting this up for you and how this thing works. We have a vineyard. Everything, and I mentioned this a while ago, everything that we have in our vineyard is precious to us. I don't know about you, but my soul is precious to me. I am concerned about where my soul is going to spend its eternity. I do not want to go to hellfire for the rest of eternity. I do not want to be swimming in the lake of fire that burneth hot with brimstone for the rest of eternity. I do not want to do that. My soul is... David, two times I think in the book of Psalms, referred to his soul as his darling. You know what that word means? My dear one. He referred to his soul that way. My soul is precious. I want it protected. I want God to build a wall around my soul and for angels to stand guard and protect me. Somebody say amen. My wife and my children are precious to me. We have walls on the outside of our house and locks on our doors and loaded guns. Amen. And if it gets bad enough, maybe we'll stick them out the windows. Amen. I will protect my wife and my children. You come after them, I will protect them. I will either, if I'm carrying, I will protect them with what I'm carrying. And if I'm not, I will protect them with my own body. I will give my life for my wife and for my children. Don't you dare deny me that. We have been given that blessing by God Himself in the Word of God. That blessing and that right is guaranteed to us in our Constitution. It is right to do this thing. And if you don't believe that, we have people that are watching us in Kenya right now that when they walk back and forth to the meeting place, their lives are in danger. 3 weeks ago, these murderers trying to steal goats killed 14 people. Men, women, and children. For what? Goats. Killed them. Murdered them dead. If those people would have been able to carry weapons, they may have got the first two. But the rest of them, the rest of those guys that did that would have been put down. We're still blessed in this nation. Don't you forget it. The news does not report the number of shootings that were stopped because some guy was carrying. They don't report that. There's an agenda to tear down the wall. But he said, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, he said, who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges, or who planteth the vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof, or who feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? In other words, the things that are part of my life are the ones most precious to me. I will protect my wife, I will protect my children and my grandchildren. When just in the normal run of a day, I don't know if you, we keep the doors locked around here. All the doors are locked because people have come in to this place and I don't know who they are. Okay? They come into this place, I don't know, but my wife is here, my children, my grandchildren are here, and I just don't let anybody walk in this building. We used to have a daycare here years ago, and some guys came in, they were selling these, they were going from businesses to businesses, selling these big photographs, these paintings or whatever that you see in businesses all the time. They were young guys, they were going around selling them. The way to come into this place when daycare is open is come through that back door. They didn't do that. They came in another way. Next thing I know, I get a call upstairs saying there's two young men down there talking to our daycare workers with all the children around. And I walked downstairs. I did not even, those guys, they smiled. Hi, we'd like for you to look at these pictures. I said, I'd like for you to look at those stairs and go out that door. Well, we're not here. I said, I don't know who you are. And I said, I've got women here and I've got children here and I do not know who you are. You come into a daycare center, you better go through the front door. I'll think you're here for something else. Now you guys, I don't care what you're doing. I'm not buying your stuff. You done set me off the wrong way. Get your stuff and get out. I was mean. Why not? Why not? Amen? If it's precious to me, don't you dare try to take it from me. And God has made these things in my life precious to me. And I'm not going to give them up easy. If I have to, I will hand them over into the loving, safe arms of God. And I've had to do that already. Him I trust. Nobody else.
Amen.
So you kind of get where we're going. Now take a look at this. All right. Back in the old days, they used to build walls. Stone walls. I want to show you something here. It's up on the screen. This is a big castle. See those stone walls? Here's the opening here. It always had some kind of big gate or doorway there that was locked from the inside. You could not get in that thing. Up here were the bulwarks. That's where the guys would be shooting arrows at you and pouring hot oil down your back. Okay? And then lighting it on fire. Okay? That'll keep the zombies out. See this city here? Does anybody recognize that? You know what city that is? Look this up. Look this up on the internet. This is called Baalbek. It's the city of Baalbek. When the Israelites had sent the spies into the promised land, they came back and said, ten of them said, we cannot go in there. The giants are in there. They have built giant cities. They've built huge buildings everywhere. They fortified themselves, their cities. They got big walls around it. We cannot even get inside those things. So we probably cannot go into that land. Joshua and Caleb are the only two that said, phooey on that. Let's go. God said he'd bring them down for us. When the Israelites finally went into the promised land, what was the first city that they attacked and how did God do it? Jericho, what did he do? Brought the walls down. When he brought the walls down, they just marched right in. Amen. Took the whole city. Here's why I'm bringing this up. Your Bible is right. Even when it talks about giants. Because I want to show you something. This wall here, it still stands. And archaeologists have noted that the upper part of the wall was built at a later time than the lower part. It was done differently with smaller stones. See this little dot here, right here? That is a man standing there. And right next to him is one stone. It weighs in excess of 60 tons, or 30 tons, or 30,000 tons be 60,000 pounds. We just barely have machinery to move a block of stone like that. They did not have that back then. When your Bible says that there were giants in the land and they built big walls, there it is right there. So you ponder how big those guys were when they built that thing. Your Bible's right. There's the evidence right there. All right? Now watch this. Walls, let me go back to this. Walls do one thing. They do one thing. They stand. A standing wall is your salvation. A laying down wall is your ruin. You got that? That's deep stuff, isn't it? This is how God designs it. So look at what He says in His Word. 2 Chronicles 20:17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. When God, this is in the days of Jehoshaphat, when God was going to win this battle, He told the Israelites, stand. And that's what they did. In Psalm 20, verse 8, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand, how? Upright. God made us different than beasts. Beasts cannot stand upright the way we do and go around that way. Oh, a bear can do it, a chimpanzee can do it every now and then, but they look funny. And they can't do it for very long. God raised us up. We're not beasts. We didn't come from beasts either. We didn't come from monkeys and cows and everything like that. We came from God. God caused us to stand upright. That's what a wall does. Psalm 94, verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against, look at here, the zombies. The workers of iniquity. Let me tell you something. You ladies, you mamas, you know this. There are workers of iniquity out trying to destroy your children. They're workers of iniquity trying to destroy your marriage. They're trying to break apart your home. They're trying to tear churches up all over this world. They are destroying this nation. Workers of iniquity. God says, who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? I will. I don't care if the whole country turns sodomite in 5 years. I won't. And I'll say, I'll talk against it and preach against it. I do not like two men getting married, kissing each other on the mouth, nor two women. It's not right. It's not how God designed it. And God is looking for some people who'll not lay down and let them just take over. He's looking for people who'll stand up. And that goes, listen, save your amen in here just for a minute. It's going to get quiet. All right? Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Don't you stop right here. Don't you think about a marriage. If that home is divided, it will not stand. How y'all, we know this. We've been through this stuff. Amen. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided. He said house. He said city. Okay. Divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then? By the way, his kingdom will not stand. Amen. Amen. I don't want to get into that. That takes too long. But his kingdom will not stand. So you see that, see what God's trying to teach you something. He's trying to remind you of something. If your house is divided, it will not stand. Okay? If your soul and your spirit and the spirit of God do not wrestle in and rein in your flesh, it will not stand. If your flesh takes control and wants to go its own way, it's going to drag the soul with it. Okay? Our nation is divided. It's not looking good. We are way too divided in this nation. We will not stand. How many believe the Bible's right so far? Say amen. Okay? Paul tells us, you just take the Bible, look at the word stand, stood, steadfast. Romans 5:2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. It is, and I'm not talking about being tough. I'm not talking about being mean. I'm not talking about being righteously indignant toward people or self-righteous or trying to be better than everybody else is. I'm not talking about that. God causes sinners to stand. And let me tell you something. You can be guilty of a sin and yet stand against it. That in itself does not make you a hypocrite. Not as long as the grace of God is the one causing you to stand. You follow me? I want you to think of something that you do or have done, and yet you are totally against it. See how it works? God put this in my head years ago. Mike, I'm going to make you preach stuff that you're guilty of. And I have to do it. I don't like it, but I have to do it. I'm against things that even I have been guilty of. 1 Corinthians, and it's by grace that we stand. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye stand fast in the faith. In what? It's by faith and grace alone. Quit you like men, be strong. Paul said in Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Do you think we ought to go back and apologize to Great Britain and say, make us subjects? No. Once you give people freedom, they don't want to let go of it easy, and they shouldn't let go of it easy. Freedom is not free. Let me tell you something. It's going to cost you something to keep what you have. Okay? You ponder that and you think about that. All right? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If the devil had his way, he would come in and bound you up in a heartbeat. And everybody in this room knows how he would do it. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God. Turn your Bibles there because we're going to be there for just a few minutes. Okay? Ephesians 6:11. Now remember what a wall does. A stone wall does one thing. It stands. Okay, but it stands for those who are protected by it, and it stands against those who would cause it harm. Ronald Reagan, you may not like him, you may like him, but he goes down in history as making the Soviet Union back off. because he hated communism. And that's something that we had a president that fought communism all his life, and now we got one in the White House. We got a communist in the White House. See what a generation has done? But he initiated what they call the Star Wars Shield, Strategic Defense Initiative. He said, we're going to put satellites in space with lasers, and any intercontinental ballistic missile that comes up there, we're going to shoot it down before it ever has a chance. And he built a strong military and a strong navy, a strong air force. We had soldiers and troops, and we had as many as the Russians had all over the world. And it was this idea of what's called mutually assured destruction. America said, you may fire at us if you want to. We will fire back, and you will then fire back. We know that we will probably kill one another, but the truth of it is, we would rather be dead than red. Amen. See, I still believe in that stuff. And this kind of language, nobody likes anymore. But the danger is still out there. It's just lurking. It's not as obvious as the Soviet Union was. It is lurking everywhere. We have Muslims all over this nation who have their finger on the button ready to blow themselves up for Allah and kill you. All over this nation. The stone wall stands for us and it stands against them. So Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Now our responsibility is to stand. If you're a daddy over a family, it is your responsibility to stand for that family. If you're a single mother raising children, it is your responsibility to stand for those children. Amen? Just because, and I'm going to show you something. We're going to act something out here in a little bit. But you cannot stand without the armor of God. Let me run through the armor real quickly. In verse 4, I got to turn my Bible there. Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Hang on, I'm almost there. And then he said, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So look, I want you to look at this. Your loins are girt about with truth. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. It is not our own righteousness, it is Christ. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There is the Bible again. Taking the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's your Bible again. Wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The helmet of salvation. It is the gospel of our salvation preached in the word of God. There it is, the word of God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So everything that enables you to stand is right here. Here's your stone wall. Here's what will protect you. It will protect your family. It'll protect this nation. Why is there such an attack on the Ten Commandments in this country and not the Quran? Why are they not up in arms in Congress or the American Civil Liberties Union about some kid writing Jesus on a paper and turning in it as homework, and yet they are forcing children in public schools to pray to Allah facing Mecca? That's because the spirits that are behind this knows that this Bible is what's holding this nation still together. It is causing us to stand against things that are not right. It is not right for a teenage boy to put a women's wig on and go into the girls' locker room. Amen. That's wicked. Amen. And it should be stood against. Amen. And those kids, I applaud those kids. When that broke, the next day, those kids said, we're not going to do it. They walked out of school. Amen. They stood for what was right. And there were some school board members that apparently were standing up against it as well. They were forced to resign. They threw them out. Listen, I'm telling you, it's going to be a price to pay. But I would rather die standing. So it's your Bible here. And I want you to consider that and think about it. Because we're going to look into it, all right? So now, we get back to this. The stone wall thereof was broken down. So if a wall has been broken, What purpose does it serve? A wall that is broken is now a doorway of entrance and exit. That's what it is. And things will come in that should not come in, and things will leave that you don't want to leave. They're precious to you. You don't want to lose them to the world. You don't want to lose your children, your grandchildren to the world. You don't want to lose your, you don't want, ladies, you don't want to lose your husband to some Jezebel. Husbands, you don't want to lose your wife to some guy who's talking sweet to her and you won't even hardly say hi to her. That's good preaching. Because I guarantee you, something right now is trying to chip away at that wall. So let's look at how it works. Okay? Paul said this, Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, if we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, then our warfare cannot be done with flesh and blood. Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not this flesh. You cannot shoot devils in the head. Okay? Cannot kill zombies, apparently. You cannot fight evil with the flesh. This is why we are losing the war in America. Because people are not fighting spiritually. I do not see the political candidate who stands up to the microphone and says, I believe in God and country and the King James Bible. You don't see that. They're thinking if we just make the country rich and make it more powerful as far as armament's concerned, that everything's going to be okay while internally we rot. You see that. Amen? Okay? This is how important. I don't want to lose my country. I don't want to lose this place. I don't want to lose Jefferson County. I'm going to tell you something. I do not want a mosque in Jefferson County. Listen, you go with me to Migori, Kenya, and you'll see what a mosque in town does. You'll feel it. You'll feel spirits that you ain't never felt before. Okay? I don't want them in Jefferson County. But they'll want to come in. And they're going to keep coming. They're not going to stop. They don't care if they get themselves blown up. They don't care if they die in the cause. Okay? Neither should we. Neither should people standing against them. It's good preaching. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against four things here, and I'm going to run through them, and you're not going to say amen. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Okay? So let's look. And I'm going to break these things down so you understand what those are. Okay? Number one, principalities. Principalities are devils or spirits who are assigned to take authority, usually by removing one who is already in authority. You remember Naboth's vineyard? Naboth had the authority and the custody over that vineyard. What did Jezebel do to get the vineyard? Put him out. And I'm going to show you something here in a minute. It's going to open your eyes. It opened my eyes one day. I was sitting back behind this baptistry, boo-hooing, crying, devils all over me, wanting me to leave. Wanting me to leave my wife, leave my children. They were all young at the time. Wanted me to leave the church. Just get and run. And I endured that days, and I got back there alone, and I said, God, I cannot take this anymore. I don't know what's going on. It happens to me every time I go to Kenya. They jump all over me and say, get out. I can probably talk more about it later, but I'm telling you, the overwhelming tug on me to get out of town. Michael saw it. Mike Hutzel saw it. And I don't mind them guys sharing. But they were trying to get me out. And there were spirits who were trying to get me out of my marriage, get me out of my home, and get me out of this church. And this is years ago, and I'm going, God, I don't understand this. The Holy Ghost will speak scripture to you to give you understanding. He said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. And once I heard that, that was like a can of spinach going in Popeye. Because I got up, da 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 da, and I said, no way. No way. I've got another story about that. I don't want to tell it right now. But I'm just telling you, that's how it works. Okay? So that's what principalities. Your constitution is a stone wall that is standing to protect the citizens of the United States and keep the bad guys out. The Bible, we covered that. See that fellow up there? See what he's holding in his hand right there? You know what that is? It's a wedding ring. He is the, let me tell you what the word, some of you have not heard this, the word husband means house band. The house stays together because of the husband. In white communities, black communities all over America, husbands are being driven out. Daddies and fathers and husbands are being driven out because principalities got rid of who was in authority over that house and replaced it. I'm going to show you that in a minute. The next one. Powers. Everybody in this church is weak in one area or another. Everybody is. You're not any stronger than I am. I am not any stronger than you are. I may have different areas of weakness, but I have them and you have them. Powers are devils that will hold people in bondage with chains of sins or addictions or fear or etc. One of those is drugs. How many of you believe that? Drugs are, you are powerless against them. My brother-in-law said, Mike, you quit doing coke. Coke starts doing you. And he wasn't talking about a cola. He knew all about it. He was powerless against it. He knew it. He was powerless against alcohol. He was powerless against all the women. He had no strength to deny it whatsoever. Okay? Drugs is one of them. Alcohol is another. Let me hear Roy say amen. Amen. Roy's not here because of his own will power. Because he fought it and he was strong enough. It was the Word of God that helped him to stand against it. And that's it. Listen. He'll tell you. Man takes a drink, the drink takes the man. He will tell you right now that if he thought he could get away with it, he'd go out and get drunk tonight. That's an example of what I was talking about. You can be guilty of either sinning or desiring sin and yet know that you need to stand against it. That's a Christian. That's a Christian. That's somebody that's saved. Got something in them. Amen? Gambling. We have a county executive, Ken Waller. He's a friend of mine. He has fought them wanting to put a casino in Jefferson County ever since he's been elected, and he will keep doing so as long as he holds that office. He's told it. He said it's the Democrats. They would have sold us out a long time ago putting a casino. Well, we need the money. No, we don't! I don't want that stuff in my county. Amen! Gambling can hold power over you. And you cannot break it. And the casinos knows that. What do you think they make their money from? People that come in with a dollar? Porn. Internet porn. Magazines. Looking at your neighbor. Looking at women in church. Men in church. Lusting after men, women, children, dogs, cats, you name it. There's people in this country that lust after everything. It's sickening. And it is holding power over people's lives, including church people. It has them in bondage, and they cannot get out of it. And yet, they stand against it, or they should. Amen. Just because you've been guilty of it, just because it has an effect on you, does not mean that you cannot say, you cannot say to the devil, I'm tired of it. I've had it. Get away from me. Stay away from me. Okay? Now, he won't stay away. He'll return. But you can get him run out if you need it. God promised you that in the Bible. The desire for acceptance. wanting everybody to like you. That is one of my weaknesses. I want everybody, that's why I tell jokes, try to look funny, try to make everybody happy. I want you to like me. I want you to accept me. I've been that way, Melissa will tell you, since I was a child. That is something that was causing me to go astray a long time ago. I wanted to be in with everybody. That's a bondage. These are powers. Credit card debt. The lust of material things in this country is destroying this nation. Our government's doing it, and so are our householders. People who make what is called a poverty income have some of the nicest things in the world. That's because they went in debt for it, and they have no intention of paying that bill ever back. You're in bondage to that. And that, there's, listen, that's just the tip of the iceberg. But you understand what powers are, right? Okay? Hang with me. I know it's kind of getting late, but I need this. Rulers of the darkness of this world, spirits who blind men, keep them in darkness. It's the only way that they can have rule and authority over them. You have the Constitution on one side. You have the Word of God. David said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." He shines on this world. Now, there in the middle is a picture of a ruler of the darkness of this world. I want you to get this. The moon shines brightest at night. It rules over the night. God made it that way on day four of creation. And yet the moon has no power against only one thing. The sun. When the sun comes up, moon has to go away. Early in the morning, you'll see them both. But by noon, you don't see that moon anymore. That, you know what that the picture is? When your Word of God is out and shining the light in your life, the rulers of the darkness of this world have to go away. See how easy that is? See how simple that is? You stand against them. And then we have spiritual wickedness in high places. Spirits that work in areas of high authority to ensure dominion over the masses. That includes the President, the Congress, the Supreme Court. Scalia's death is very convenient for people who want to practice spiritual wickedness in high places. And I have a picture of that up on the screen. I don't know if you can see this. This right here is the United States Capitol. It is where the laws of this country are made. Does everybody see that? On top of that building is a statue of a goddess. Those were forbidden. That's Ashtaroth. That is spiritual wickedness in high places. They call it Capitol Hill. It's up on a hill, and then she rules over that. You believe? Okay? That's what's going on in this country. Now, here's how they work. Okay? We're going to get this picture of a home, the church house, the White House. I'm going to show you how this works, and then I'm going to let you go and let you ponder it. Okay? I need some volunteers here. Caleb, come up here. Okay? I was going to have Faith. You want to help me out, Faith, or you need to go? All right, come up here. I haven't told you what I'm going to have you do yet. Okay? So, Caleb, stand here. Okay? Faith, you turn around. Stand right next to Caleb. Okay? Because you two are married. Okay? You're married. Okay? So, he is the husband. He is the house band. Guys, I want you to catch this. Your spiritual authority may not be taken seriously anywhere else in this world, but devils know who you are. And they know they cannot get past you to what their real target is. It's not you. You're the stone wall standing in the way. And if you fall, think about the consequences. So here's the husband. Here's the wife. Come here, Ed. Come here. Your name's Ed. Ed Ward. You stand right here. This is their son. Baby Huey. Here's the daddy. He is the house band. He's the stone wall. This is a pastor of a church. Trust me, I know how this works. Okay, I know how it works. When I'm out, those of you who were here and you know what happened, when I went to Kenya in 2014? While I was away getting beat up over in Kenya, the devil was walking in his church doing whatever he wanted to do. Okay? So it works. I'm telling you. Devils know that he's the one, he's the stone wall, and they cannot get in. But he's not the target. Okay? So, here's what happens. Principalities is a devil that wants him out of the way. So they're going to start working on him. Powers will come in because they know where his weaknesses are. And they will start chipping away at his life. We know this, guys, don't we? To start working on him. Rulers of the darkness is going to keep him blinded to it. And all of a sudden, he's not reading his Bible anymore. He quit going to church. He's not praying. Spiritual wickedness in high places is all ready to start working to put her spirit in charge. So let's say, and this is what happens now in a lot of American homes and churches. If I get told this once, I get told 100 times. Pastor, we had a good church, and then all of a sudden, the pastor left. Or, pastor had an affair, he had to get put out, or he was embezzling money, or we caught him with this, or he got too old, and he had to retire, and we brought in a new young pastor in, and then everything started changing. I hear that all the time, don't we, Alicia? We hear it all the time. So, they start working on him and trying to break down the stone wall. He's out. Thank you, Caleb. That puts her in a responsibility that she was not designed to have. Now, ladies, if you find yourself, anybody listen to me, in this position right here, God can enable you to stand. In fact, I'd much rather tangle with an angry man than a she-bear. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Okay? A man will beat the snot out of you and pick you up. Woman, keep clawing away. Amen. Okay? So, but she has weaknesses of her own. You see, she's not the real target either. Baby Huey is. Because he's 8, 9, 10 years old. He already is the product of a broken home. And daddy's influence has already worked on him. So mama's got some problems of her own. She's wanting another man. So in today's world, she's either going to them or inviting strange men into her home where he is. And we have children being raised in Jefferson County where the live-in boyfriend is abusing them, molesting them, beating on them, and killing them. So now she's out. You can go sit down. Thank you. Go to the bathroom, wherever. You can go sit down. Who's raising him? The devil himself. He's the target. He is the weak sheep, the little lamb that the wolves were going after to begin with. They will take him at a young age and they will make sure that he stays in their grips the rest of his life. See how that works? Thank you, Edward. Appreciate it. Your role is greater than you can possibly fathom. You cannot see the spirits around you trying to get at your wife and trying to get at your children. But know that they're there. And they won't stop either. You're going to have to get up and fight them every day. And the primary target, the first target, is you. Be aware of how the enemy works. And even if you're guilty, even if they manage to chip a little bit away one day, put it back. God have mercy on me. I am not going to give myself over to that. And therein lies the difference between a Christian who sins and a church member who gives himself over to everything this world has to offer. You keep standing, guys. Moms, you keep standing. I have to stand, not just for you guys anymore. There's a 2,000-3,000 people right that call me pastor. And I tell God all the time, you need to get somebody else. Because I cannot do this. And God says, I know. That's why I picked you. Okay? So we have this is important to me. This is my family. Okay? Y'all are my people. You're my friends. You people online, I love you. You people in Kenya, I want to go back, but I know what'll happen when I do. But I'll do it, God tells me. If it's precious enough to you, you'll protect that vineyard. So what do you do?